Here's an unreal number, 1 million. That's a low estimate of the number of refugees created by the crisis in Syria over the past 2 years. We will see what that has done to the border region as Syria's neighbors shoulder the burden of the growing flood of displaced persons from Aleppo, Hama, and increasingly Damascus itself. We begin, though, with an update on a stalemate that has produced a humanitarian crisis with no end in sight and a response from the international community that seems to favor increasing the flow of weapons at a moment when there are no real negotiations to settle this civil war. Joining us now are Lara Satrakian, journalist and founder of the Syria Deeply News website. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us is Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you.
Lara, let's just begin with an update on the combat situation. Arms seem to be increasing, if we're to believe the offers of aid and some of the rhetoric from Secretary of State John Kerry this week, even though there are no negotiations that seem to be scheduled.
The situation on the ground is tenuous at best. You have a swath of territory in the northern part of the country that's pretty much rebel-controlled, battles raging in cities like Aleppo and Raqqa. This week, Raqqa became the first provincial capital captured by the rebels. As soon as they did that, the regime started bombarding it from the air. What's happening is as the rebels take that swath of territory, the regime is making it practically unlivable to be there, creating the conditions for a very, very difficult governance picture. So the rebels take these towns. How do you administer basic services? How do you collect the trash? How do you keep the lights on? So on the ground, as each of these places fall into rebel hands, it becomes actually, in some cases, more difficult for the civilians living in those areas. Essentially, Bashar al-Assad has created a situation in which all he has to do is keep the rebels from controlling the country and ruling it effectively, and that's considered victory in his eyes.
If that's the pattern, contested towns, villages, and cities, then made unlivable, or at least as unlivable as they can possibly be from the air by Bashar al-Assad, Dr. Zahir Salul, that's a formula for an increasing refugee crisis. What are you seeing?
Every Syrian family I know outside of Syria, whether it's in the United States or in Europe or in the Gulf states, have family members who fled Syria and living with them. And they are not considered refugees. And if we look at this 1 million number, it's really an underestimate because many of the refugees in the surrounding countries of Syria have not registered. I've seen one family of refugees in Jordan, in al-Za'atari camp, and the father told me that both of his sons were killed by bombing in the city of Homs. So he fled his house and he went to a different neighborhood, lived for some time until that neighborhood was bombed and shelled again. So he took the rest of his family and he went to Damascus, where he stayed there for a few months until his money ran out. Then he had to flee to Jordan. And while he was crossing the border through Jordan, his wife and his daughter were shot out by the Syrian security, and they were in the hospital when I saw him. And this is only one example of tens of thousands of examples of families who are traumatized by the conflict and ended up in refugee camps in terrible situation.
Tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands. We're talking with Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society. Lara Satrakian, comment on that, but here's a question. We're seeing instability around all of the borders of Syria, and we have reports now that UN peacekeepers in the Golan bordering with Israel have been detained under certain circumstances. We've got insecurity all around Syria right now.
Open fire at one point or another on the borders of Turkey, Israel, Lebanon, Iraq, and Jordan. These are countries that cannot afford it, by and large. You cannot have open warfare on the borders of Lebanon without it eventually destabilizing the country itself. Jordan, a lot of pressure on the political system, on King Abdullah himself, both in terms of how he's going to provide for the hundreds of thousands of additional people now nestled in his country. If you're a Syrian refugee in Jordan, you don't have the right to work. So you're very quickly burning through your life savings.
And we should note that the refugee crisis from the creation of the State of Israel in Lebanon destabilized that country over years until by the 70s it became completely chaotic. So we're seeing history repeating itself with Syria on some level.
Absolutely. And some new concerns in the mix. The stability of Jordan, seriously in question. Even Jordanian officials telling me this is not good for the kingdom. This is not a situation that they can manage for very long. This is a heavy weight now that's being placed on all of Syria's neighboring countries. And even Turkey saying we can't handle this influx. You'd think of all the neighbors, they might be in the best position to do so. Dr. Zaheer mentioned something that obviously breaks our hearts. Families on the individual level can't cope. Even if you're not a refugee, I know many people in Aleppo still trying to make ends meet, trying to survive in that city. They can't afford food. Prices are up for heating oil, in some cases, 600% in certain neighborhoods. You can't stay warm in your own home. You can't eat. You probably burnt through your savings. Your job is probably gone. Public sector salaries are still being paid, but they're likely, one economist sent an estimate, they're likely to dry up in the next year or so. So you do have a Somalia in the heart of the Levant.
We will be speaking with someone about the U.S. response or the possible U.S. response to the refugee crisis all around Syria. Before we go, Dr. Salul, what would you say should be the U.S. response to the refugee crisis that you've just outlined?
When I meet with refugees, when I meet with doctors inside Syria, and we send several medical missions to inside Syria where we train Syrian doctors, you know, they tell me, thank you very much for sending these medical supplies and medications, but we expect your country to do much more. We expect your country to protect the civilians. If you ask these families, why are you leaving Syria to Jordan or to Lebanon to live in terrible situations, they will tell you because we're afraid from the bombing, from the skies, we're afraid from the shelling, we're afraid from being detained and tortured by the security system, and we're afraid from rape. There are many cases of rape, not only to female, by the way, to children and to males, and this is documented by United Nations report. So the most important thing that our country can do is to end the crisis. And I think we have the capacity to end the crisis and protecting the civilians. Just sending humanitarian assistance is not enough.
Dr. Zaheer Salul, who's president of the Syrian American Medical Society, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Laura Satrakian, founder of Syria Deeply, who we've spoken to many times on the Syrian crisis on this program. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.